Well, it's really a joy for us to be here this morning once again. This place a bit more familiar. It's all about God's story, things that He does in our life. I also want to thank Rachel for doing a part B of my sermon. You will get to know where we are going with this. But it's really lovely. And I think those statistics that we saw here this morning would be really helpful as we look and understand God's word. The passage that we are dealing this morning is really action-packed passage. You know, there's lots happening in this episode. You know, last week I understand that you thought about council in Jerusalem. So after finishing that, Paul went back to Barnabas and said, "Come on, mate, it's time for us to go for a mission trip." Barnabas said, yeah, good idea. Let me take John Mark with me." Paul said, "Nah, that's not the right thing. I don't think so. That we would take him." So then they had a bit of disagreement and they said, "Fine, you go this side, I go that side." So Paul took Silas with him and they started their missionary journey. When they started their missionary journey, Paul had a vision from God telling them, "You need to go to Macedonia." And then Paul and Silas went into that region and they decided to spend their time in town of Philippi. And they were there about for 3 months. This is the same city or town or church where Paul then wrote an epistle of Philippians. So they stayed there for 3 months. One of the key persons that Bible mentions about in this passage or just before this passage is Lydia, because she was the fruit of Paul's ministry. And then Lydia said, no, I'm not listening to you. You're not going to travel lodge. You're going to stay in my house." So then they stay with her and for 3 months. And almost at the end of those 3 months, Paul and Silas, as their regular practice, they were going out to pray. And that's where we get into this passage. Now, as I said, there's a lot of things happening, but I really want to focus on their miraculous escape from prison and their reaction or response to that. But I would certainly like to highlight two things before we jump to that. Now, as we see in this story, this girl who was possessed by demon was shouting every day a very interesting truth. She was shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." Now, to our minds, it would be like, "Oh yeah, she was doing the right sermon, right? She was like, identify, they're God's people, come on, do it. Listen to what they're saying." But the problem was, you know, if I stand in India and I say, "Yep, I'm here to tell you about God who is going to save you," they will identify with different gods. And that was the problem with what this girl was doing. Because the town of Philippi was not mainly Jewish populated town. It had people who followed Greek and Roman religion. So when she identified Most High God, they couldn't think of God of Bible. They couldn't think of God of the Old Testament. They thought of Zeus. And they thought, "Oh, they're his servants. They're going to talk about him." So, but then it was a weird combination for them, because Jewish people talking about Zeus. So therefore, Paul did what he did. You know, and now we really don't know why Paul didn't do it on the very first day. You know, we would only know, we'll have to ask Paul. But then after doing what he did, we would have thought, "Oh, people would have responded quite well, saying, 'Oh, that's really wonderful. See what we have done.'" No, they said, no, mate, we have taken our bank balances down, so drag him to prison." And they dragged him to prison, and Bible talks more about that. But even in that situation, we see Paul and Silas doing what they knew is the right thing to do. You know, whenever we were kids, you know, we used to do this skit, play, drama in our Sunday school or summer school, and we would show Paul and Silas nicely sitting with well-dressed clothes there, and it was a bit of comfort prison for them. But in reality, it was not like that. You know, it was not like, "Oh, 2x2, there has to be enough space for them to breathe." No, it was a very closed prison. And at times they would cramp in as many prisoners as they could in that. And they would not take them to hospital first, because they had a really lot of beating from people. They would just leave them like that. So it was not like they were all taken care of and well fed and everything. But even in that situation, They chose to sing God's hymn and pray to him. When we go through difficult times, it is really difficult for us to pray. You know, we, instead of, at times we just say, why God, why is this happening in my life? And at times, even we want to pray, we struggle to pray because we really don't understand what we should be praying. We cannot think of words. You know, I keep telling this to almost everybody. Book of Psalms is a really good book. When you are in your life where you struggle to articulate what you're going through, read Psalms. And read them as your prayer. And ask God, God, this is my prayer. Even if I'm using boring words from David or Moses or whoever wrote that psalm, but this is my heart's cry. Because they were singing hymns. And a few commentators say that they were literally reciting psalms. And I think that's a very good way for us to communicate our struggle with God. But then the story moves on. Then comes the second miracle. So there are three miracles that I see in this story. First is miraculous healing of this girl. Second is miraculous escape from prison. An earthquake happened and they're all freed and they get an opportunity to run away. But Paul and Silas decides to stay back. And what is interesting for me is not only they, but all the prisoners decided to stay back. And that's a really amazing story for us to understand in this passage. But let's talk about miracles in our lives. You know, when we read Bible, we read about a lot of miracles. You know, we see Moses use his rod. God said, fine, let's do it. So Red Sea was departed and people walked through it. We see people who were brought back to life. We see people who were fed. And Jesus just blessed and people could eat. And in today's life, when we live our life, we might try to find out events in our life which kind of matches with those miraculous acts of God. And at times, we struggle. At times, we might sit here and think, oh, but I've never seen anybody coming back to life. Oh, I've not seen food being multiplied the way it was multiplied then. I've never seen river in Cambridge, Ely, Ouse, yes. Again, I walked there and I took my rod and I did that. It never went away and I had to go from a longer route. That never happened. But then there comes a question, is God really there in my life then? Because the Bible tells me that God is there. He's very much active in my life. So where is God? You know, it is really important to understand that Jesus sent Holy Spirit for us so that we are guided by his word and by his leading in our life. You know, there's this one word that we often use in our life, and that is coincident. You know that word, coincident? Coincident, yeah. And at times, things do happen in our life, and we just name them. Oh, you know, coincidentally that happened. Oh, you know, I really don't know. I was really struggling then, and I really thought someone should come and help me, and coincidentally that person came and helped me. That's a God incident. Thank you for that. That's the another word I want to talk about. Those are God incidences. Because God is very much active participant in our life. God is not up above somewhere there watching and another episode in our life and thinking, oh, what's happening in Satyajit's life today? Let me watch. By the way, that's my full name, Satyajit, okay? but I still like calling being called Sat. So it's not that. But God is very much part of our life even now. And God is a God of providence. You know, we might not have experiences in our life where we have food multiplied and river being parted in its way. But God is God of leading. He leads at times. He gives us thoughts. He tells us what to do. God is a God of provision in our life. You know, one of the things that I often do when I'm in my sermon, I talk to people, kind of trying to pick up incidences in their life. And I was just talking to one of my friends, and she said, I have two such experiences where I was really struggling with my finances, And God somehow opened his ways. I had checked that came my way, was never expecting it to happen. Well, that never happened with me. So that not necessarily if that has happened with someone else would happen with you as well. And if that's not happening with you, God is not working in your life. Okay, I've prayed for motorbikes, I've prayed for cameras. God said, no, that you don't need them. So I've never got them. But then that does not mean God is not interested in my life. God is very much active in everything that we do, in every step that we live on this earth. You know, those sudden thoughts out of the blues that we get, that's not coincident. You know, if you talk about coincidences or God-incidents, I have a story, a very important story for life of our daughter Salome. When she was just about 1.5 or 2 years old, we went to visit an orphanage. And that was far away from a big city. And in that place, she suddenly wanted to play with a Play-Doh. Okay, and you know how easy it is to explain a child of just 18 months or 2 years, say you cannot get a Play-Doh here. And the child would say, yes, daddy, I understand. I completely get it. No. You have to try all different ways to help that child understand. And we were trying. And we knew that is not a possibility for her to get a Play-Doh. Now, in our usual term, we would say coincidentally, or I would call it God-incidentally, a lady walked into us. She said, oh, I have something for Salome. And you know what? She had Play-Doh in her hand. And she never knew what she was. She wanted that. But I'll tell you, this story in Salome's life has helped her to really understand that God is there. And this is not just one story. I think if we sit and recall, there are many more stories where she wanted something and God just answered her prayers. Because God is an active participant in our life. One of the characters in the Bible whose life is full of such God incidences or coincidences is Joseph in the Old Testament. You know, when his brothers were like trying to beat him and threw him in that dry well, coincidentally, traders passed their way. So they said, okay, let's not just leave him there, let's sell him there. And coincidentally, he went to a slave market and Potiphar bought him there. Come, work in my house. Coincidentally, he was so good that they made him in charge. Again, he had a fall there because Potiphar's wife accused him wrongly and he ended up in a prison. Coincidentally, he was again given a responsibility. Coincidentally, he heard two prisoners talking about their dreams. Coincidentally, he prayed about it and God gave them the wisdom. And coincidentally, he ended up becoming a great in charge in the nation of Egypt. Now, we can just call it coincidentally, or we can just identify everything that happens in our life that it is a God's incident in my life. It's not coincident. It is God enabling things to happen in our life. So with Paul and Silas, they had this earthquake that gave them the freedom to run away. And they could have easily ran away because it was an earthquake. There were no walls, they could have easily gone. But for me, the third miracle in the story is their decision to stay and do what is right. You know, so first is a miracle of healing. Second is a miracle of nature. And third is a miracle of human nature. And we all are witness to that miracles in our life. Because we have stopped living our life the way the world wants us to live. And live our life and behave and show Christ through our lives. And Paul and Silas did that. They said, wait, we are still here. I mean, you know, I think if Paul and Silas would have gone away, none of those people in this town of Philippi would have been able to identify that this is God. And this is not Zeus that they're talking about, but this is the living God they're talking about because they decided to stay and they decided to do what is right. And that is really important. You know, two things happened because what Paul and Silas did when they were in prison. They created a sphere of influence. You know, think of this. In prison, all these criminals who might have been there for lots of different reasons, they decided to stay back, not just run away, because they saw that these people are different. And the other important thing is, on that evening, jailer and his family was saved because Paul and Silas decided to stay back. You know, we can have a lot of God incidences in our life, and we can really praise God for that, and we can really thank God for that, and we can continue to live our life. But we have this report that was shared with us this morning. What do we do with these God incidences in our life? We can just praise God and continue to live our life, or we can decide to share those experiences with people that come across to us in our lives. We can allow those incidences to be seen through our life. We can allow those experiences to lead our ways to do and live in life, a life that allows people for Christ to be seen in everything that we do. Paul and Silas, as we are saying, had every opportunity to run away, but then decided to stay because God told them to love. That was God's leading, that was God's way for them to do. My dear church, what are those God incidences in our lives? You know, at times we struggle to remember because we are so busy. You know, what happened yesterday? I don't know. I have to go back maybe to check on my phone, or I have to ask someone, or I have to kind of sit there for a while and try to remember. You know, back in the Old Testament, God always told people, place a stone here and name it. Put this marker here and name it so that your generations can remember. My dear friends, let us remember those God incidences in our life. There are a lot of different ways of remembering those God incidences. If you're good at art, make some paintings about it. If you're good at writing, write down about it. If you're good like me, just use a phone. Make a voice note that on this day I experienced God leading in my life. Even if you don't want to do that, take a picture. Make a small video. Make a memory out of it, so that you would be able to remember those God incidences that happen in our life. But just don't stop there. Get intentional in sharing those incidences with people that come across to you in your life. You know, I'm not asking you to go out and say, and just go and say, hey, you accept Jesus. I'm sure they would say, oh no, I'm not talking to this person anymore. But it is about sharing those incidences, saying, you know what, I was really struggling the other day, and I was not sure what I'm going to do. I had so much work to do. I couldn't really manage doing things. But I just prayed, and God gave me his wisdom in doing things. Let your word coincident be changed and bring in those experiences where we see and experience God doing things in our lives. Let your general conversation with people around the coffee or just in the marketplace or on the streets be intentional by showing Jesus actively doing things in our lives. We have a great task that Jesus wants us to do. And that is only possible for us to do when we are intentional in showing and sharing those God's incidences in our life, in our day-to-day talks. You know, you don't have to be a preacher. In fact, the most important preaching happens on the street. Most important preaching happens around the coffee table. Most important preaching happens around a coffee corner at our office when we're just waiting for coffee mugs to be getting ready. Because you can just share, you know what, I was struggling and I saw Jesus doing things, Jesus helping me, or I saw Jesus providing these things, or I saw Jesus guiding me, or I had that help, Jesus sent me that help. Let those things become a part of our life. Let's get intentional so that we would be able to save a lot more people. We would be able to show a lot more people that Jesus is the way to be saved. And naturally, because of how we live and how we share, the question will be coming our way. Tell me, how can I be saved? And then you will have your answer ready, that Jesus is the way. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, because you're not far away from us, Lord, but you're right there living with us, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for your leading. We want to thank you for your help. We want to thank you for your guidance, and we want to thank you for your living presence in our life, Lord. Lord, if we sit and think, Lord, we can think of so many things in our life, Lord, where we can just identify, oh, that was God, oh, that was God, oh, that was God. And Lord, we pray that you help us, Lord, to really name those incidences in our life, those events in our life, those experiences in our life where we would be able to see you active in our life, Lord. And Lord, help us, Lord, not to just to make an album and keep it in one corner of our life and saying, oh yeah, that's a good story. But Lord, help us, Lord, to become intentional in sharing those stories with our friends, with our families, so that your living presence is seen in and through our lives, Lord. Lord, we pray that you continue to guide us, lead us, help us, Lord, to identify, and help us, Lord, to become intentionally sharing your stories in and through our lives, Lord. We thank you because you love us, and we thank you because you're always there to lead and guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.